Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so in the traditions of our founding fathers, to use the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America, to use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, and to reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We talked yesterday and several days lately about praying for our brothers and sisters in the great state of Florida, who are on the path of Hurricane Ian. It's through the state now already, thank heavens for that, but man, the damage is brutal in certain areas. We saw a video of a shark just floating down the street there, swimming down the street, whatever. Not a fun deal for anybody, I'll tell you that right now, and our prayers are with the folks in Florida. However, kind of an interesting little tidbit about Florida, folks. People are fleeing to Florida in droves. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you very much, and good morning to everyone. And at least in my neck of the woods, it's a beautiful fall day. It probably may get up to the low 60s today, but, I mean, what a delightful day. I mean, sounds like other people have got plenty on their plate, but, you know, there's always been and probably will be as long as mortality exists. Inclement weather. Climate change has been around forever, and I remember back in 1969, for example, a big Hurricane Camille that came through the Golden Gulf Coast and wreaked havoc, put big shrimp trawlers up on Main Street. I mean, the tidal surge was huge. A great many burial crypts. You know, they bury people above ground down there, a lot are close to above ground, and they got all soaked up out of the ground and were floating around. I mean, it was a mess.
Yeah, it's almost like Halloween down there then, you know.
Holy Hannah. But, you know.
Wow. But people are fleeing from the tyrannical state of New York, Dr. Bradley, in droves. And they're heading to Florida in record numbers, the headline says.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, you look at the yo-yos that have been running that state for as long as they have. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, I look at states that, date back to the, 1760s and the 70s and the 80s. They were there in the big debates and arguments that went forth about founding the nation. I mean, you know, John Adams wrote Massachusetts Constitution. And somehow in that, I mean, John Adams, a magnificent Christian fellow, brilliant mind. They found in that Constitution this thing about it was okay and God was fine, I guess, with the same sexes getting married. It's just bizarre to me how some of these states seem to lose their way. They become, you know, huge, huge pits for your tax problems. They have they're horrific, tyrannical mandates about this and that and the other, destroying the right to keep and bear arms. You look at what used to be in the old colonies where they had laws that said you had to bring your gun to church. Now that if you did that, you'd be in a federal penitentiary for 100 years. These guys have just lost their bearings. They've gone off the tracks. They're off the cliff. And so I can see why people are fleeing them.
Well, really, and people know it, too, from an economic point of view, Dr. Bradley. Everybody's melting down. We talked to Brian Rust and Kelly Finnegan about the Honest Money Report yesterday. And the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage now is 6.67%. On a 15-year, it's 5.84%. And they say it's going to likely even go up further. 38% of full-time workers, even with a 401k, say, man, we're not going to be able to make it. We don't know how our economics are going to work. 56% of the nation saying that. So 38% of people that have 401ks, 56% in general saying that. One in three believe they will be able to meet their spending needs in retirement. So one out of three think they'll be able to meet their needs. Employees' financial optimism now has plummeted under Joe Biden to a five-year low. 71% of respondents reporting say the cost of living is outpacing their wages for sure. And then your money advisor says, hey, inflation may save you at tax time because they'll adjust the tax brackets. Don't worry. The federal government obviously manipulates its tax code. That's why it's so hard to file. But anyway, the bottom line is when you look at this economic reality check folks are facing, now they say naked short selling is stealing money from the retirees, the widows, and the small business folks and investors. I mean, it is disaster economically speaking.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've hit on so many things. As always, Sam, I mean, I don't want to complain, but there's so many we'd like to pull on the strings on. I mean, obviously, everything is manipulated. There is no free market out there. What you have is the exact antithesis of the welfare clause, you know, a good, stable, predictable government. We have a situation where the socialists are always trying to get into your back pocket and put it in somebody else's back pocket, and people that want it in their back pocket are voting for them. The idea of intrinsic value money and actually holding something that's of intrinsic value, I suspect that a great many people in the not-too-distant future, I don't know who's predicting the exact time, but they'll find that a lot of the paper they're hanging on to, whether it's Federal Reserve notes or to stock and bond notes and stuff like that, I've seen personally stuff die in people's hands. You know, it's a sad and lonely tale, but that's exactly what happens when everything is falsely based. And intrinsic value is something that Americans have long since been loath to invest in. And by the way, the intrinsic value markets right now are being manipulated. It's just bizarre to me how everything against good and stable and predictable government is being done right now. And you know, it'll get worse.
Well, you heard Hillary Clinton took an $18 million bribe and got caught, right?
I haven't heard that one, but it doesn't.
Yeah, she took an $18 million bribe and she got caught. And now they're talking about a Clinton comeback in 2024, Doctor.
Well, obviously,
think it's going to be Trump and Clinton running again.
Yeah, just think about this for a minute. I mean, if someone took an $18 billion, I was in Bravo.
No, million.
Million. Okay. Okay.
Mary.
Well, as in $18 million, I mean, what's a few billion and millions among friends? But any kind of thing like that, it would be a death knell for almost anybody. But Hillary, it's business as usual, folks. We're going down the road from all of the things that have been happening from the Arkansas world and forward. You know, the Arkansas days are back again. Who knows? But, I mean, I'd love to know what was the bribe over? I mean,
Patrick Byrne.
Who knows?
Patrick Byrne came on the program with us yesterday. That's the former chairman of and CEO of Overstock, right? And we talked to him in detail, and he basically was talking to William Jasper of John Birch Society, the NewAmerican.com, and he basically says the 2022 elections will be quite perilous, and Patrick is afraid that they're going to try to radically steal this election, create violence and discord, and then blame it on him. And that discussion, he talked about this $18 million bribe. It's kind of a long story, but supposedly the plan was to set up a bribe for Hillary to take, for her to take it, then elect her as president, and then call the halt on the bribe. it just didn't happen that way.
Yeah, you see, it's bizarre to me. People are saying, oh, my goodness, they might try and steal the 2022 election. Are you kidding? They did it before. They'll try again. There's not a shred of evidence that anything's been improved. All of the things they're attempting to canonize, and all of the, except for a huge pandemic, and I'm not ruling that out in the next couple of months, I mean, just because they want disruption. But you look at the perfect storm that hit in 2020 and how all of that was used to manipulate the outcome of the election. And you don't think they're not saying, hey, wait a minute, that really worked pretty cool. Let's do it again. And you know,
yeah, the deplorables are proven right once again, huh, Doctor?
Yeah, they are. But the red states are not immune to this. Utah probably has, I'm putting it in the top five, certainly in the top 10 of the most corrupt direct election states in the nation.
Well, I got news for you. Are you familiar with the two red pills?
I am, and I'll tell you what, I take my
They're spot on. They came on the radio with us a couple of days ago, or actually on TV, simulcast with the Sheriff Mac Show, and they said now research points to Utah being the second most corrupt state in the nation.
Well, no, I've been saying top five for a long time. In fact, I had a conversation the other day with a guy that, I mean, nobody can believe it. Oh, not the religiosity in Utah. Oh, my goodness. No, that had never happened. And, Republicans? Are you kidding me? No, this is a power issue. The power corrupts and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And all men would be tyrants if they could. You've heard me use those old sayings that are as applicable today as they were when they were said. And Utah has such a corrupt system, with the lieutenant governor being the right-hand man or woman of the governor running the elections. Can you imagine who wins?
Ladies and gentlemen, the $18 million bribe that Hillary took, the interesting thing is the Republicans know all about it, according to Patrick Burns, and they're not interested in prosecuting. So it's both sides of the aisle, the deep state against the rest of us. And this is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley, back live on your radio. A quick promotion for Kristen Chevrier, yourhealthfreedom.org. They have an event coming up October 7th and 8th. Educate and empower individuals and parents to make informed health decisions, help government make good policy decisions. Yourhealthfreedom.org. Tickets are on sale now. If you use the code SAM15, you get a discount, SAM15. Get your tickets right now. There's two separate but related events. One Friday night, it's a dinner and a gala, and then the Summit Educational is all day Saturday. Great stuff. And she asks, are you being coerced into vaccinations? Who pays for the vaccine makers' mistakes? Anyway, great stuff from the folks over there. And sign up and get involved if you can. If you can't, pay attention to their channel on Rumble. They'll be releasing things as they can from some of the speeches and stuff like that, so you can learn more about it. But the Russian collusion delusion, turns out that Patrick Burns was right in the middle of it, and he basically tells you how bogus this whole thing is. The Republicans and the Democrats are both trying to set up their opposition with a big old scandal that as soon as they take power or control, then the scandal can break. And Patrick Burns says he was paid by the FBI to be right in the middle of it. And he says the FBI encouraged me to have a sexual relationship with Maria Butina. And he basically highlights how he trapped the FBI, and that's why he's free today. But he mentioned on the radio program yesterday that he will be probably killed or imprisoned by them very soon. And our pressure with Patrick Byrne, you know, the sexual relationship part in the spy, whatever stuff that goes on with some of these people, I don't understand. He's not a Republican or a Democrat. He's a libertarian. But all I can tell you is, you know what, there's nothing but perversion at the highest levels of our government. The deep state is against us all, ladies and gentlemen. But if you want to make a difference in the election, Patrick Burns wants to know if you've heard of OneMoreMission.com. And OneMoreMission.com is a nonpartisan, non-party-affiliated opportunity for patriots of all stripes to continue to support and defend our Constitution and the election process. OneMoreMission.com. Check that out. That's an interesting website as well. It's hard for me to kind of handle some of these things. I have a very religious core, Dr. Bradley. And so when people tell me they had a fling with a woman for spy work or what, I don't even know how to respond to all that. all I can tell you is that there's just deep state corruption at all levels, folks. And until we get this straight and repent to God Almighty, we're going to see everything run off the rails. It's just a reality check that you cannot dismiss. You might make your choices, but you will not choose the consequences, Doctor.
You know, it's interesting. There's plenty of traps that Satan has found quite effective over his time in reigning in blood and horror on this earth. There's lust and leisure and licentiousness. There's power, fame. There's any kind of thing that people get their head turned to. Some want celebrity, you know. You'd like to be kind of on top of the stack, if you will. And you know, it's interesting how he can play any of those things at any time against an individual to trip him up. You know, nations fall because of those kinds of things. It's interesting how our Constitution was written only for a religious and a moral people, and it was really incapable of governing any kind of other people, as John Adams observed. And, of course, George Washington talked about the necessity of religion and morality in government, and he spoke about how virtue, public and private, would be the watchword on his administration. Those kinds of things are necessary. Montesquieu wrote about it. He talked about the necessity. In fact, he tried to come up with one word or two words, just a little brief phrase descriptions as he wrote about the different types of government that he studied. And our government is a republic, or at least it was until we all got the idea it was something else and started letting it happen. But he talked about the watchword or the single word descriptor of a republic was virtue. And so these kinds of things, we shouldn't be a bit surprised when they're played out against us, and people fall in the trap. It's funny, people that won't learn from the past, you know, you can read in The Tempest or you can read Santayana, the different things that have been taught through all the ages about if we won't learn, if we won't become, if you will, inoculated, and I'm not talking about with a fake jab, I'm talking about with wisdom. We learn from the past. We should be more than barbarians, as Santayana talked about people that won't learn from the past. And we need to say, oh, wait, I see this. And you know, the idea that we should be able to learn that socialism is a failed formula. In fact, when I first started my doctorate, I was going to write definitive, if you will, dissertation that demonstrated unequivocally that communism was a failed economic formula. But oh no, oh no. The professors that were guiding me through their omnipotence decided, no, that was way too broad a dissertation. I better narrow it to a five-year plan that the communists had to grow beets or some stupid, inane thing that no one would ever read again. But I really do believe that we have enough evidence on so many fronts, not just communism as a failed economic formula, but morality's importance, the idea that virtue, the idea that, that, yes, families are central to everything that happens in society, and strengthening and preserving your immediate personal family is one of the best things you can do to help save this nation. You know, electing officials that have virtue, I mean, it's so astounding to me that we give people a pass. Oh, what he does in his private life has nothing whatsoever to do with his
ability. That's bogus, and it will destroy the nation, ladies and gentlemen. Listen carefully. George Washington's unheeded warning, religion and morality are indispensable. Now listen to this. Private virtue is the character to govern oneself according to moral law at all times. Let me say that again. Private virtue is the character to govern oneself with moral law at all times. Public virtue is the character to voluntarily sacrifice or subjugate personal wants for the greater good of other individuals or the community, if you will.
But that's all done as a free will offering. See,
that's right.
See, people,
not by force, but by choice. And they say specific moral virtues include charity, justice, courage, temperance, reverence, prudence, and honesty, doctor.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, all of these people that say, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what people think and do in their private lives. You know, the bimbo factor that seems to always be erupting with the Clintons, and this effort to gain power, this effort to enrich themselves, you know, it just seems at every turn, and like fools, like lemmings, you know, running off the cliff, whatever imagery you have to have in your mind, we go seeking after these things. And the thing is, I there's a presentation I used to give quite regularly to young people, and it had to do with, you know, I started it off with it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. You remember the Tale of Two Cities, the beginning words of that. And how we live in a time, we have prosperity and peace and so much that we can be blessed and enjoy. But it also is the age of the anti-hero. See, we worship unworthy heroes. And it's interesting. At the time I was giving this regularly, Michael Jordan was a basketball player. Some may remember him. But it's funny how people fade into history. But at any rate, there was a survey done, a worldwide survey.
Yeah, the rock star of yesteryear is not even remembered today, huh?
That's right. But here's the deal. The question was asked, who's the most famous person in the world? Who's the most famous person? No, it wasn't in the world. It was in the universe. That's where it was. Okay, so because the universe made it a bigger arena, I guess.
I would like to hope the author of the universe, yeah. Jesus Christ,
well,
sir.
That's the thing. Because the universe was in their mind, ultimately God ended up being on the list. But you know who was number one? Michael Jordan. And it's like,
wow.
Are you kidding me? What in the world are we thinking? Well, he has great hang time on a layup, you know, whatever. But God was on the list ultimately, thankfully, but I think it's because
God lost to Michael Jordan, ladies and gentlemen.
He did.
If that doesn't highlight the problem, I don't know what does. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, is this a good reason to yeet, to get rid of your smartphone? We'll talk about it in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Ian regained Hurricane 1 status Thursday evening on its way up to the Carolinas and bringing with it a record storm surge, flooding, and intense winds to their coast, which is under hurricane warning at this hour. After Ian cut through Florida this week, some Florida officials said publicly hundreds have been killed. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis
did shelter in place. As of last night, we've contacted over 20,000 Floridians that filled out a shelter in place survey on floridadisaster.org. Over 10,000 have responded, and all 10,000 said they were safe. And the state sent the first alert late last night and are expecting more responses this morning.
31-year-old Gavin Escobar, a former tight end for the Dallas Cowboys, died in an apparent rock climbing accident in California on Wednesday. Escobar and 33-year-old Chelsea Walsh were found by firefighters in the region. The fall took place near Taquish Rock, shadowing Palm Springs, California. Russia struck Ukrainian cities with missiles, rockets, and suicide drones, with one strike reported to have killed 25 people. As it moved Friday to get more seized Ukrainian territory into Russia before the annexation by President Putin takes effect Friday. Iranian citizens flocked to the tools designed to help citizens in censorship nations connect to the internet as their government tries to squelch protests. One IT professional said daily demand for a virtual private network or VPN services in Iran is up over 3,000% compared to before the protests. The protests are about a woman and her headscarf, or lack of, that got her arrested and subsequently killed by Iranian officials, the protesters claim. Visit us online at usaradio.com. USA Radio News.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-568-2790. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-568-2790.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with me on your radio. So the question, ladies and gentlemen, is this a good reason to ditch your smartphone? There's an article from WorldNet Daily, WND.com. Look, the Epoch Times and WND.com are two of my favorite news services. You know, they cover more news than just about anybody else, believe it or not. WND.com, TheEpochTimes.com. I'm not saying there's not other good places. I'm just telling you, those are two of the best. They have a lot of great stories. But the WND.com, WorldNet Daily, is the former name. Feds looking over your shoulder with purchases of cell phone internet data. No warrant involved, since information comes from commercial interests and commercial databases. Bob Unruh, WND.com. Now listen. The Fed, Gov, is buying from contractors private cell phone data to track you. If you don't like it, they say there are civil lawyers already raising alarms about the development. So there you have it, doctor. Your government's literally buying cell phone data on the market from supposedly, you know, private companies or whatever, or publicly traded companies. I don't know. It depends. So if you have a cell phone, they're just able to buy the data. They don't need a warrant to spy on you, to monitor, to follow, to track you at all. And this is okay with America, right?
We've talked about this before. This is deception that people ride to glory on. You know, people are all, oh, ain't it awful? The NSA is capturing all our information, and they're putting it in a big database in Draper, Utah, or, well, down by the point of the mountain in South Salt Lake Valley and the northern Utah Valley. Oh, this is so horrible. And the Utah's illustrious Senator Mike Lee rode in on a white horse in his shining armor, and he says, I'm going to put a stop to this. And so what he did is he put a bill in that passed, by the way, that said, oh, no, the NSA can't do this directly anymore. They must purchase it from a third party. So this is all being done in accordance with a law promoted and passed by Utah Senator Mike Lee. And again, Mike Lee does a lot of good things. Don't get me wrong. He's voted in some appropriate ways. There's no getting around it. But there are fatal flaws that we've got to be aware of. And the idea that, oh, no, it's okay if the government doesn't collect it directly, because that might be a little bit more Fourth Amendment-ish, you know, this warrant stuff. But when you get it through a back door, you know, it's a kind of a poison fruit anyway, I think. I mean, if you can always find some whore, oh, excuse me, that's maybe not a good term to use, a harlot, that's going to sell something that they shouldn't be selling, and you're going to find people, if you offer funds to do, get something, you're going to get what you're looking for. And so, sure, and if you make it a law that it's okay, go read Bastiat's The Law again. I mean, I know a lot of Americans have never heard about it. It's a little pamphlet. You can read it in one sitting. You're cheer all the way through. He wrote it in 1850 to oppose communism and socialism that was being promoted all across Europe. But the fact of the matter is, he says, no, no, no. If you get the gendarmes, he was French, if you get the gendarmes on your side because you've made a law that they have to enforce, the law is used against the people. And this is really what's happening in America. We manipulate things that should never be touched. And there's so many levels we could talk about this. St. George Tucker, the preeminent constitutional scholar of the founding era, spoke eloquently about how the Constitution prevented the general government, some people call it the federal government or the national government, the general government from being able to, in any way, shape, or form, create a law or enforce a law that had to do with anything that was not specifically delegated in the United States Constitution. So here we have backdoor stuff that's going on all the time. And yeah, oh yeah, they go in and they buy your information. And people actually just don't buy it. It's volunteered. When Facebook gets some, oh my goodness, this is something we don't agree with, they pass it on to their cohorts. They are cohorts in the general government that then chase it down, again, all without probable cause, all without warrants and all this kind of stuff. But it's freely flowing. Big tech is in deep with the deep state. And we're kidding ourselves if we don't think that's the case. So,
all right,
yeah,
there you
like,
have it. So is that a good enough reason to get rid of your smartphone, ladies and gentlemen? Wow. All right, I got another article that I want to talk about here. I believe that this really takes the cake, because you can dismiss this guy and say he doesn't matter. But these big people with money have influence, folks, so you better beware. And if you're not careful, they will find strange bedfellows to bear the burden of their agenda. Politico. You know, Politico is a website, right? Politico co-founder. That's a weird thing to say. Say that fast, doctor. Politico co-founder. John.
I'm not smart enough.
Harris. That's the guy's name. John Harris. The guy's a whacked out extremist liberal that's crazy as a loon. He's so afraid of Donald Trump getting elected now that he wants the Constitution to be rewritten. He complains about the Electoral College, Second Amendment, and more. Bob Unruh with the piece, again, WND.com. He said making the needed changes would include altering or abolishing the Electoral College, term limits for the Supreme Court, limiting pardons, and taking care of the infuriating language in the Second Amendment. He said the Constitution, however, prohibits the changes that he wants. Now, listen, they say most amendments would be opposed by conservatives, which under the terms of the existing Constitution means they likely would not pass. Why? Because it takes three quarters of the states to approve an amendment. And then they say that gives the small states, the conservatives, unfair extreme power over the rest. This is hardly a new problem, they say, but it's one that threatens to reach a breaking point. Anyway, they got this arresting statistic that is validated by liberals that manipulate the truth. By 2040, 70% of Americans will live in just 15 states. Listen to me. By 2040, 70% of Americans will live in just 15 states. They're the populous states. Well, all these teeny states would have too much power because the Senate gives them two senators. And as a result, then, like Wyoming, hey, they'd have hardly any people, but that have tremendous representation. He then further charged that the nation was founded as a unit of states retaining sovereignty, but now the government, an international government, is taking over and is much stronger. He said the answer to the originalist concept, who cares what they thought back then? He wrote, so what'll happen this time when amending the Constitution seems improbable, but living without changes is intolerable? He predicted a constitutional showdown is coming. In other words, the guy's literally calling for a civil war, Doctor.
Well, I suspect that, but what he really wants is a rewrite of the Constitution.
That's what he says he wants, yeah.
Yeah, he has framed all of the arguments against a Constitution convention that are all very, very, very real. And we can take every single point you've made in regards to why things are as they are, and they still continue to be an important aspect. I don't know if you remember from the play, it was a movie too, The Man for All Seasons, when Roper wanted to cut down all the laws to get at the devil. And again, I'm abbreviating very quickly. And when all the laws were cut down, what's going to protect the individual? And this is exactly what these people that are seeking to not only rewrite the Constitution, but are attacking these great institutions that have preserved our liberty for all these 235 years. People need to understand that every single one of his arguments can be debunked in a major way that should be unassailable to anybody with more than a half a brain. I know there's a lot of people out there because of oxygen deprivation have less than a half a brain now, but this concept is so dangerous. And it has gained traction, and I can't tell you how many presentations I've made in opposition to the so-called Convention of States or an Amendments Convention or a Constitution Convention, whatever they call it, it's poison. I mean, are you for a fascist government or a communist government? Well, they're both poison, and that's where we're going with this thing.
Amen for all seasons, ladies and gentlemen. The Sir Thomas More speech about the supremacy of God's laws over man's laws. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable live.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
A Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cameron, I just sent you a cut to play in just a second. Dr. Bradley, in A Man for All Seasons, brings up an incredible point to understand, ladies and gentlemen. This is really critical that you kind of think about this. All right, this guy wants to abolish the Electoral College. This guy wants to really gut the Constitution because he believes somehow things would be better, safer, more appropriate. It isn't true. It isn't real. It isn't right. Okay, it's bogus, folks. You got to understand we have got to obey God's laws, but oftentimes man's laws are in support of God's laws. And believe it or not, in my book, the Constitution is one man's law that was inspired by God's law. Here's the debate in A Man for All Seasons. Then we'll talk about it with Dr. Bradley.
Arrest him.
For what?
He's dangerous.
For libel. He's a spy.
Father, that man's bad.
There's no law against that.
There is God's law.
Then God can arrest him.
While you talk, he's gone.
And go he should if he were the devil himself until he broke the law.
So, now you'd give the devil benefit of law.
Yes, what would you do? Cut a great road through the law to get after the devil?
Yes. I'd cut down every law in England to do that.
Oh? And when the last law was down and the devil turned round on you, where would you hide, Roper, the laws all being flat? This country is planted thick with laws from coast to coast, man's laws, not God's. And if you cut them down, and you're just the man to do it, do you really think you could stand upright in the winds that would blow then? Yes. I give the devil benefit of law for my own safety's sake.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not for man's laws coast to coast, but I will tell you this. God's law in the inspired supreme law of our land, I believe to be the political religion of our nation. I believe to be a clean, simple guidance for all. Checks and balances to chain down those who would destroy us with the Constitution. I believe in God's law, the two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the great Ten Commandments put together with the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. It's pretty small in a reality check, but it's incredibly valuable to really carry out God's laws to the best of our ability with man's law. That's the best we've got till the Savior returns, till the Prince of Peace makes his appearance. And we need to hold to that dear, Dr. Bradley.
Well, the scene that you just played is out of Act 1, Scene 1. I think your listening audience would do well to go back and review that. Because that is exactly what has happened. I don't care I do care. I care deeply. This idea of a Constitution Convention, the idea of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, that what they're talking about doing with religious liberty, this idea of what we're doing with our moral law in regards to how we pervert everything. Let's take sexual things and marriage and traditional family and all those kinds of things that are being slaughtered on the arena of the courts and the legislative enactments. This idea of mandates with masks and shutdowns and everything is under assault, and they're all being cut down. And where are you going to hide when they've cut all of these things down that really, really, really matter? How will you be able to prevent you as a medical person from participating in abortions or denying someone the privilege of being able to live in a family unit because the state knows better? All of these kind of things are under assault. And it's interesting to me that you have brought up some things. Again, a lot of strings to pull on. Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England, book one is an original series, talks about how God's law, regardless of where you are, takes precedent over man's law. And in fact, he goes so far to say that if man's law contradicts God's law, then man's law is of no force or effect. You cannot properly do that. And what we're doing now is we are giving man's law preeminence over God's law, and man's law is based upon a godless philosophy that we've been taught in our public education systems for so many decades, generations even now. The religion of America is a godless religion. It's called secular humanism. It's a God that worships the learning and wisdom of man, and we know how stable and undeniable that is. And it's taught at taxpayer expense in violation of the First Amendment, but yet it has become America's de facto religion. And what is happening because of that is people have lost track of the basis of everything we hold that is protecting the things that are of most importance. And so we have generations now of people that want to cut down every one of God's law so that they can have their way with whatever law that they've assumed. I taught a class one time. A bunch of high school kids were assigned to come there by their advanced placement teacher to disrupt the meeting, to show their pontification skills and their wisdom. And they were just little putzes, literally, that were there collaborating and trying to overthrow the idea of the baseline principles. And you know what this... I asked her how old she was. She was 17 years old. This little girl wanted... She says, it's our time now. We have better ideas than the American founding fathers do. And I thought, you little jackass, if you just knew what you just said, how long ago was it since you had to cross the street holding somebody's hand? You don't know the questions, let alone the answers. But that's what's running this country now. And I don't care.
And more importantly, not only do you not know the answers or the questions because you're so young, but furthermore, you've been propagandized. Furthermore, you've been literally indoctrinated to believe the lies that somehow that grass is always greener with whatever liberal bent plans, whatever communist / socialist / indoctrination you've been forced to eat or to drink or to internalize. This is the problem. It's the indoctrination camps that these people have been in. We've created a mass hysteria. We've created a mass psychosis by being indoctrinated for generations now, doctor. And very few people can even think about this in an intelligent, logical way these days.
They're being taught what to think, not how to think. And I've said for decades now, our family was on the bleeding edge of the homeschool movement, and I had great hopes for it. But we've talked about this on the program before, how many people think they're homeschooling when all they do is they sign up for a state-sponsored education class that they teach to their kids on their computer in their home. So you've brought the devil right into your home to help indoctrinate your children. And I'm just appalled at what we're doing. You know, like I say, the best of times, the worst of times. We have so much to be grateful for, and there's so much to rejoice in and to, you know, praise God for. But the fact of the matter is we are letting things slip through our fingers that to gain them back, I fear, because the price of liberty is blood, and it's human blood. And I fear, and I don't know when it'll be, but to gain some of these things back is a really arduous task, and we just can't afford to let them go. And this homeschool movement of having your children removed from the indoctrination camps and the humanist religion that they're taught. I mean, why are people leaving religious belief systems? Why do they turn on Jesus Christ? It's because they have been taught a false philosophy from their childhood, maybe even in their preschool. Certainly in their kindergarten and on forward, they sexualize the children, and they get them into the black-robed, led university system that puts the polishing touches on the destruction of religion in their lives. And so many come out that hold high positions in this nation. I mean, you know, look at who's there now. These people, they would claim religiosity so that they can get the vote. But what do they bring? They bring falsehood. They bring destruction of liberty. And liberty is God's law. Liberty is a gift from God. It's this agency that he wants all of his children to be free. You read the fourth chapter of Luke when the Savior introduced himself in his hometown after his baptism. You know, he read, it comes out of Isaiah. You can read the 61st chapter of Isaiah also, where he quoted that in the synagogue and talked about his purpose is to liberate. And you can be captivated by false philosophies just as much as you can be captivated by, you know, immorality and all those other kinds of, well, I guess that's a false philosophy too. But all of these things, we talked about lust, leisure, licentiousness, power, wealth, all those kinds of things.
That's the bad side, ladies and gentlemen. Remember the good side, though, that prevents you from falling into the trap personally, as a family, and it works for society as well. Remember Washington's currently sadly unheeded warning. Religion and morality are indispensable. Also remember that private virtue and public virtue is essential. There's no difference between the two except for the application. Private virtue is the character to govern oneself according to moral law at all times. Public virtue is the character to voluntarily sacrifice or subjugate personal wants for the greater good of other individuals or the community. It doesn't mean that you cater to the masses like a communist principle. It means that if you represent the public, you have a fiduciary responsibility to them, a morality connection to them, and you are responsible if they are in your, what's the word I'm looking for? Not jurisdiction, I'm looking for, they're within your responsibility. They're within your, you serve them, in other words. You represent them and you serve them. You have a duty to them publicly, morally, to care for them, to represent them in a complete fidelity, responsibility. They're in your stewardship. That's the word I was looking for. You have an obligation. That's the public and private virtue we're talking about. There is no difference, folks. It's personal behavior, actions, thoughts, deeds. Okay, we need to turn to Christ. There is no other way. God, family, and country is the only way for us to right the republic. The only way for us to return to the principles that made our founding fathers successful. That's the only way we can be successful as well. We need to preserve the nation. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Dr. Bradley's website. And on his website, not only his incredible book to preserve the nation and collegiate series to go along with it, DVD lectures and more, but you've also got weekly webinars with Q&As. Dr. Scott Bradley is a constitutional scholar. And he's available for the public to learn and get guidance from. And it's this great educational campaign that we're on in an effort to restore this thing peacefully. I know that when liberty's lost, it requires blood to bring it back. But I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm working diligently, as I know you are, Dr. Bradley, to do our very best to peacefully restore the republic. You know what? Whether we can or can't, I don't know. But that's what I'm going to do my very best trying to do. And if other needs or other means are necessary, let it be. But I'll pray hard and work hard and do all within my power. Doctor, final words yours.
Well, if you read what Ezekiel said about the shepherds and watching over the flock, we have that condition today where the shepherds have become polluted. And we need to replace a lot of shepherds. But the shepherds that are there could redeem themselves by coming back and taking care of the flock that needs to be cared for. It's not just religion. It's in government stewardship also.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, thank you so much. FreedomsRisingSun.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.